done some trade leap-ups there.
Trigger warning. This is the Trigger Weens, broadcasting from Pod Gay to Gay, a mile above queer level from Intergalactic Fairy Studios. We alter your locus of
reality. You're just stealing Derek J's intro, man.
Yeah,
you live with a girl. You live with a girl. That is so gay. And you're a joke thief.
Well, not when I'm in Delaware, I don't. But to be mitigated later. The Trigger Weens is covered by a BIPCOT no government license and powered by Bitcoin. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Can you feel it? Is it working? How are y'all?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm powered by Bitcoin. Working. Bitcoin, and it doesn't even exist yet. You know, I have an idea when Bitcoin does exist. So about 4 years ago, when Bitcoin wasn't quite the powerhouse it is now, you know, Dottie Barker is like always trying to spread Bitcoin. He runs Bitcoin Not Bombs, which teaches nonprofits how to take Bitcoin for you know, for donations, and helps house the homeless, and sort of was the, or not house the homeless, buys food and clothing for the homeless, which was the inspiration for our thing, Feeding the Homeless, where we gave out, explain Feeding the Homeless, Jim.
Wow.
Wait, Jim got fired. Sorry. That was a weird little, go ahead, Steve.
So Feeding the Homeless was when,
that was Freudian.
Myself, Jim Babb, who I was just called, and friend of
you who cannot show, be named Jim Babb,
friend of show and man to whom I still owe a
flag,
a BIPCOT flag and a pack of Delaware cigarettes. Mr. Al Friedman, Al, if you're listening, hit me up. I'm going to be gone from the 9th to the 15th, but either before or after that, we need to meet up and I need to give you your bounty of BIP gifts. And we got together and we handed out these radios to and these MP3 players to random people in Kensington.
Now, what was special about these MP3 players that you gave to the homeless and the nearly homeless?
They were preloaded with Freedom Fiends episodes so that you could hear the gospel of Mises and BIP.
I think you could say the gospel of me, because you're on there a lot too. So yeah, it is the gospel of Steve.
Yeah, no shame in my game.
And the SD card filled with all these episodes was epoxied in. So ostensibly, these were fiends-only devices that couldn't play anything else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fiends only. Yep.
So Davi and I had this idea as a joke about 5 years ago of like, of spreading Bitcoin further to the down and out. And basically what we were going to try to do was teach muggers to take Bitcoin. You know, like go up to, you know, when someone pulls a gun on you, say, well, here, I have a gun too. So instead of killing each other, let me show you how to take Bitcoin. And you like get download a wallet onto their phone and show them how, you know, and you send them a couple Satoshis and you show them how to do it. So then they can go mug people for their Bitcoin. So it never happened. But I think that when Bipcoin comes out, I think Steve should teach the muggers in his neighborhood to take Bipcoin. What do you think, Steve?
I don't
know. Did we lose him? Did Steve get droned? Well, that's on the bingo card. So what's up with y'all?
I don't know if I want muggers being... Well, actually, that may actually help, because they'd be so distracted with trying to take the Bitcoin.
I know.
Maybe somebody else could stop them, or, you know, you can get
I know.
Away.
I mean, you know, transferring cryptocurrencies is so easy. Your brother grew it while she's pointing a gun at you and holding your phone in the other hand and, like, looking at the phone to make sure that you did the transaction. So, yeah. Needs to get easier. Needs to get to where they can just like walk up to you and shove you in your head, and your Bitcoin goes into their wallet when they hit you like you're healed, like a preacher hit, you know, faith healer hit somebody.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm thinking. What's that preacher's name who does that? Benny Hinn. Is that his name?
Steve would know. Steve knows all the scammy preachers.
Yeah, Steve gone.
But the smallest amount of Bitcoin is called a Satoshi. It's like 100 millionth, I think, of a Bitcoin. The smallest amount. Now, one thing that's going to be different about Bitcoin is it's going to be granular to 3 more zeros. So it will be able to run all of the transactions in the world and become the world's, you know, main currency when Bitcoin gets old and tired and can't handle it all. So the smallest amount of Bitcoin is going to be called a squitten. Do you guys know what a squitten is?
No.
No, I've never heard that term before.
It's a mythical cross between a squirrel and a kitten. There's also a cabot, okay, which is a cat rabbit. But yeah.
That one I have heard before, but I've never heard squitten.
Yeah, so
I've squitten, never heard either.
It's what we call our cats when they're being squirrely, too. The squittens are acting up again. But and then we're going to call our Bitcoin mining pool. The name of it is going to be Stacking Mad Squittens. And that's going to be another name for mining Bitcoin is Stacking Mad Squittens, which might be the name of this episode. It's either that or, well, it was going to be A Full Squirm Is a Beautiful Thing, because that's what I said to Steve Miller when he said, can I come on tonight? And, when we have four hosts or more, it's called A Full Squirm of Worms, because we are worms and we say worms a lot, and worms are a good thing. But Steve didn't last long enough, I think, to really call this show A Full Squirm. What do you guys think? He's emailing me now. What's he saying? What's his excuse?
Comes back.
I mean, in the past, I think you were able to keep your streak going by coming on for like 2 minutes during shows when you were feeling really sick. So I think, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes of Steve.
Yeah, but I did it almost every. I did it almost every day.
I know.
Steve's not sick. Just the infrastructure of his neighborhood is sick. He lives in a sick part of Philly. He lives in Kensington. He just sent me a picture. Oh, you sent me a picture of Steve, and it says, where we're going, we don't need show notes. Oh, you memed this up on your phone while you were giving your Bitcoin to a mugger, didn't you? Yes. Yeah.
Well, he said it. I said, that's a memin, so I got to work.
That's a memin.
That was fast.
Did you guys see that there was a poster for, I forget if it was the Navy or the Air Force, but it was an actual recruiting poster. I think it was the Navy, because I think it was a picture of an aircraft carrier on it, and it said, join the Navy, travel the world, play Bitcoin all over the world. Or not Bitcoin, Pokemon Go. Did you guys see this? Yeah. It's sick.
No,
man.
I didn't see that. What?
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm pretty sure that was the Navy. Yeah, I saw that. That was floating around a few days ago, and it was actually a couple of my friends who are now anarchists but used to be in the military who found it first and showed it to me.
Oh, like, I thought you were going to say they made it.
No.
Wow.
They were saying this is the level it's gotten to now. Like, yeah, it's a marketing. Anything to get them in.
I used to have a t-shirt that said, I had three t-shirts I really liked when I played in Bomb that I remember well. One said, so many gerbils, so little time. And that was right around the time that those rumors about what's his name were going around.
Richard Gere.
Richard Gere.
Speaking of, is he an officer and a gentleman? Speaking of the military. So then I had another one that said, it had a picture of a cop hitting someone with a billy club. And it said, support your local police. Beat yourself
Fiend
up.
Fiend phone.
I think needs to make a comeback. And the other one said, join the army, travel the world, meet unusual and interesting people, and kill them.
Wow.
Yes. Or no, go to unusual, visit unusual places, meet interesting people, and kill them. Yeah, that was it. Which is a saying from the Vietnam War. But apparently someone was still making t-shirts of that in the 80s.
Yikes.
Yeah, I'd probably rock the cop one.
Yeah.
I already wear one that, what does it say? It's got a picture of a father and like a father and his child like running across a field and bombs being dropped on him. And it says 100% grade A GMO free freedom seeds.
Freedom seeds. We're the Freedom Seeds podcast and radio show. Did you know there's actually...
I get the weirdest looks when I wear that shirt.
There's isn't actually
that
a...
Isn't that the... Hey, Miller Miller. Podcast names? You have Seeds of Liberty. You have free... Your podcast basically formed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually it does.
We should have Danilo... If we had Danilo come on as a guest, we could call it Liberty Seeds and use that picture of the bombs being dropped. Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's messed up? Like, people in the military like love jokes like that. Like, people in the military would wear that t-shirt too. I know people, I have family members in the military who would wear that shirt and think it's hilarious. And there are also cops who'd probably wear the beat yourself up shirt, but they'd probably be less likely than the military people would. The military people are often just like, yeah, man, we kill for a living. That's what we do. Yep. Uh-huh.
One of the greatest edgelord memes of all time was when the New York police made those We Can Breathe shirts. I don't know if you remember, but
yeah,
they had those shirts that said "We Can Breathe," and then those two cops got shot, and they had a picture of them loading the two cops out of the thing, and the top half was the commissioner in this "We Can Breathe" shirt, and it said, "At first we were like this," and then at the bottom it had the two cops being hauled out of an ambulance, and then it said, "And then we were like this."
Oh, wow. I remember that one.
And I hate edgelording. I hate it when people are like, ooh, here's something really like, ooh, I'm going to get like, but that one I thought was.
Cops can be edgelords too. Like I was saying, like, you know, military members will say like, yep, we kill for a living. But there were some cops in, I forget if it was Texas or Florida. It had to be one or the other, but they were making t-shirts that they're all wearing that had a picture of like a 7-year-old boy, a drawing of a 7-year-old boy holding out of the bars in jail. Like, I'm in jail. And the caption said, you raise them, we jail them, or something like that. Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't
see
that.
Maybe that sounds a little familiar.
Yeah, or like, you know.
Yeah.
You school them, we jail them. I forget what it rhymed, whatever it was. It was basically like, you have the children and we'll put them in jail. Ugh.
Mm. Well, unfortunately.
Steve, that's how it works. I mean.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. I mean, well, the cops get their own kids put in jail sometimes, too. Rarely.
They usually get a pass. They have to do something really serious.
Unless you slap a gay in Philadelphia.
And then what happens?
Then you go to jail for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I'll talk about it on the next segment.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Is spreading the message of liberty and peace around the globe worth 15 cents per day to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. Last year, we did a fundraiser that successfully covered the costs of continuing our African channel. This year, we're hoping to raise enough to fund a new satellite signal that will cover Europe, North Africa, and much of the Middle East. You can donate as much or as little as you like via the Indiegogo campaign at fund.lrn.fm. And there are perks available like sitting in on your favorite LRN.fm show, exclusive shiny badges, or even naming a satellite channel. Please contribute now at fund.lrn.fm and help us continue our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. The fundraiser ends August 19th, so please visit fund.lrn.fm today and thank you for your help. That's fund.lrn.fm.
That's the show title right there. Did you make that up, Steve?
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I mean, maybe. I think so.
So, did you slap a gay today?
It seems pretty happy. I didn't slap any gay today, but there's a woman named Catherine Knott who did.
Are you from the Slap-A-Ho tribe?
You know, no, I'm not. I don't.
They're from your area, though.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Upstate New York, maybe.
There's these kids. They all meet at the same Catholic school in Northeast Philly, which is the more, like, mouth-breathy part of town, where, like, there's a lot of Eagles fans. And you talk with, like, a really heavy Philly accent. And you don't trust anyone you haven't known since birth. And they're all from Catholic school, the same Catholic school, and they're all getting drunk in Center City, Philadelphia, and they're walking down the street and they see this gay couple and they say, "Yo, what is that, your boyfriend?" And the guy says, "Well, actually it is." And then they surround them and they slap them, and one of the gays falls to the floor. And one of them has to get his jaw wired. Like they like beat them for a little bit.
Humans.
And then they leave.
I hate humans.
And all of them cut plea deals. where they get like community service and like probation for a while, except for this one girl who is the police commissioner's daughter in this town in the suburbs. And she says, no, because I didn't hit nobody, et cetera, et cetera. And she winds up getting a year in jail, of which she wound up serving about 7 months.
And that'll teach her not to take the plea deal and confess to whatever they say.
And they let her out, and there was a huge debate among my neighbors in the case of this woman, Catherine Knott, if you want to Google her. She was all over the news, and my neighbors were debating, would you hit it, yeah or nah? Because Catherine Knott is what we would call a thick John. She is a white woman who has kind of let herself go, and that's when you're really in the Kensington zone. If you're like a white woman who's not very smart to begin with, and then you've kind of
given up on life. What's her name? I got to Google it. I'd Google
Catherine,
it.
I'd Google it. K-A-T-H-R-Y-N-K-N-O-T-T. Catherine Knott. Yeah.
K-N-O-T-T.
Yeah, not.
Yeah,
as if like it's not, it's not a good idea to slap some gays, but
so not, like, not only is her first name spelled obnoxiously, so is her last name.
Posturing though, it was a lot of political posturing though, because these sort of things happen all the time. But they had video of this one, so it becomes a huge thing. And meanwhile,
who filmed the video? Somebody on the sideline yelling. Oh, somebody yelling. What's that
World
site?
Star.
Yeah, yeah.
Bipstar.
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 When you Google Catherine Knott, one of the first picture that comes up is her booking photo, but the picture that comes up the most other than that is probably something that was, you know, hastily deleted from her Facebook, but she didn't do it quick enough. It's a picture of her with a bottle of like Captain Morgan rum, I think, like just chugging it in a car. It's pretty funny.
There we go. Yep.
Yeah.
You could do a lot of cool things when your dad's the police commissioner.
So that video of that fight in the convenience store that you said is totally Kensington, was that in Kensington? Speaking of Facebook on the radio.
Indeed. That was in East Kensington.
Did you film it?
No, I did not film it. I was in Delaware.
I did hear someone say while it was being filmed, this is going to get 100,000 hits or something like that.
This is gonna some get world star fan. Views. And I said, you're lowballing it. As soon as I heard that, I was like, no,
yeah,
this is
yeah.
good. So they were trying to fight this cashier, and then they couldn't fight the cashier. So they wound up trashing the entire place. And the end.
The cashier probably went to their safe space behind a bulletproof door.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
I did when there were fights when I worked at a 7-Eleven on University Avenue in Berkeley in 1986. Yeah. I got fired for stealing Pogs. That's the last thing I ever stole. Other than Steve Miller's heart. Right.
Yeah. That's right. And you did it with buttons, and I handed out a lot of buttons today.
So I take it you got the what was in the pack I sent you, and when'd you get it?
Today, and
as the union leader,
so the mailman came to the door and knocked on my door while I was in the process of making Rice Krispie treats, and my hands were filled with molten marshmallow. And
give him
I
one?
Could not get my hands on anything. No, I put the envelope between my elbows like a pro, and then dropped it on the couch, and then went back to making these godforsaken Rice Krispie treats, which I regretted making like pretty much the second I did. But I felt it was that darn s'mores commercial, because they had this commercial for microwave s'mores, and I made those, and then I had half a pack of marshmallows that I didn't want to go bad, and in for a penny, in for a pound.
So what's in it? What did I send you?
Buttons aplenty, including the new ones, a lot of stickers, yeah. A lot of Bipka stickers.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
What are we talking about next? Let's go to a topic now.
concerts.
Well, I was going to ask Steve, because the last time I talked to him, he was saying he was going to go see Luke Bryan, so...
And I did, and it was absolutely awesome, and it gave me new motivation as a showman to get out there and grind ever so hard. So here let's
on the
talk
radio.
About, a radio showman, not a radio shaman.
like Tony Styles.
Yeah, but a radio showman. So I go to the show, the old ball and chain and I go up from Delaware. We go to this show. We pay $40 each. We get in the lawn. We sit on my Bipcot flag, making this decision.
I love that you're taking the Bipcot flag out on dates. You're taking the flag for a date.
And we roll it out. We sit down. There's these insanely drunk teenagers in front of
us. You didn't take the flag with your picture on it?
I don't have the only camera that I have is like a selfie, John.
It's yeah.
No, you meant the other flag you have.
My
flag.
Steve Miller flag. That one's too large. Yeah. It's like 4 feet by 6 feet. It's huge.
Nice. Really?
Yeah.
You got the next size up from the 3x5. You know that you can get flags there that are like 10x6 or something. I mean, giant. Like
I saw that.
Yeah.
So
you should do it, Steve.
There's three bands. Our boy Dustin Lynch plays first. Great, tremendous, wonderful. Can't say enough good things about Dustin Lynch. Then Little Big Town comes on. Not a fan. Little Big Town is most famous for their song Girl Crush, and they're pretty much crappy country Fleetwood Mac. down to the way their hair looks, they do Fleetwood Mac covers. But not a Little Big Town fan. Then Luke Bryan comes on, and oh, sweet Jesus, I've been delivered by the blood of the Lamb. he comes on, and he's all fake tanned up. He's got that thing where he's got a tight T-shirt on, and you could tell that he did about, like, 60 push-ups before he got on stage to, like, really pump it out for the ladies. And the women are going nuts for Luke Bryan all over the place. And both Raul and I, a homosexual couple, get hit on by a bunch of women, at this Luke Bryan show, they're all dancing up on us, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're a fella, he's still got 20 cities left on his tour. get yourself some play at a Luke Bryan show.
Do they all kind of look like Miss Knott or her mother?
A little bit thinner, though. Think if she had like a nice eating disorder while she was in prison, then you'd get like the caliber of women at the Luke Bryan show.
Wow.
Well, yeah, man. I've been to a bunch of these shows, and yeah, the women that come out is even in areas that I've been in that I never see these women, and it's amazing where I don't know where they come from. You show up, and they're everywhere. It's a beautiful thing.
The ratio is about 10 to 1, female to male, and all the dudes
absolutely
look like they got dragged there by their girlfriends. And Luke's just belting out all the hits for the ladies that are just making their panties fly off, and yeah. Strip it down. It's a song about his truck. But stripping the paint off and then stripping her clothes off and everybody's, I saw a couple people get hauled away by the Illuminati security guards for being too drunk. Like vomiting.
How drunk do you have to be to get in trouble for being too drunk at a country concert?
Honestly, I don't know. I love going to country shows, though. And I do love country. And if you want to fight me in real life, go ahead.
I love country, but not what you call country. There's the fight, Steve.
Same here. I had to look Luke Bryan up.
I like Johnny Cash.
Me too.
Oh, no. Luke Bryan's the gas.
I like the Highwaymen. The biggest like suit, the only country super group I like is the Highwaymen. You know who that is?
Better than Little Big Town.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, it's not really saying much.
I had to look up Luke Bryan. I didn't know who he was. I admit it.
He was born. So whatever Buddhists believe is the number of days before someone is reincarnated, he was born exactly that many days after Elvis died.
that's Illuminati stuff.
Got a little.
The Highwaymen is Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, and Chris Christopherson.
Their
hit song was The Highwayman. You ever heard it?
Yeah, it's on my mix.
Yeah. Yeah. The people that Steve likes don't know who Woody Guthrie is.
Oh, that's
they know
not
who Johnny
true.
Cash is, but they don't know who
that's
Woody Guthrie
not true.
Is.
No.
I think it is. Okay. Steve likes Hollywood country.
Hollywood country.
Is Steve like coming over here to beat me up right now? Where'd he go?
This machine entertains fascists.
This machine entertains fascists. Nice, nice. I'm making a picture. I'm taking this meme with Steve Miller, and I'm putting a badge, like a, you know, corporate badge, the thing that you swipe to get in to a company, on Steve, that's got a picture of Miss Knott on it. That's his inner child, I think, is her.
No, because she's Catholic, and my inner child is a devout Lutheran and is not having any papism from any of his women.
Man.
Not even if they're pleasantly plump and Kensington approved.
Kensington approved.
No, but she looks like the kind of woman that you see on an episode of Cops in an interracial couple wearing an oversized Looney Tunes t-shirt screaming about, "Officer, don't take my baby."
That's a good, very descriptive. I like it.
Like, when I do the character Ricky the Carney who knocked up your cousin at the state fair last year, like, the cousin that I have pictured, like, isn't too far off from Catherine Knott.
Yeah. So, yeah. Tell us, Jeremy.
Buffering.
What?
Well, Steve's, what's up?
See, I guess, well, like I said, I mean, I agree with, I mean, I know what you don't like, the newer country. I call it nouveau country, but I mean, I like the older stuff, and I like this stuff because it's fun. It's not, I don't look at it as, like, you know, pure old country music. It's not like the outlaw stuff, which was a lot grittier and, you know,
yeah,
better in a lot of ways, but whatever, man, this stuff's fun. A lot of it's, you know, some of the guys, I was just talking about this with somebody the other day. Like, there's somebody like, I don't know. I'm a fan of Dierks Bentley. He went ahead and made an entire bluegrass album, which a lot of the fans of these people would like, "What the heck is that? I have no idea what this is." It was, like, widely panned by his fans because it's a bunch of
country fans who don't know what bluegrass is. That's weird.
That's what I'm, well, like I'm saying, the fans are the problem. A lot of these guys are essentially students of the older stuff. They're just taking advantage of what they got going on now, man. Sex sells it either way.
Dierks Bentley is currently on tour with Randy Houser. Randy Houser did an album of songs just about his truck because his truck died.
Aww. And
as a way of grieving his truck, he made an entire album for the truck. And there's a lot of Dierks Bentley, Luke Bryan medleys, duets. The one burning up the charts right now is "Hunting and Fishing and Loving Every Day."
See, that's country music.
Yep.
Although more people died in the older stuff. It's a lot sadder. Well, people are dying. People are leaving
country.
Well, fish and deer die, and in the current year, that's just as bad.
You ever heard "Delia" by Johnny Cash? It's about murdering your wife. Your wife, but yes. Yeah.
No, but like your wife in the terms of, like, your cousin at the state fair last year. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What tense are you addressing me in the cousin at the state fair last year tense?
Yeah.
Yep. I had a gig tonight as Ricky the Carney, so I'm still in Ricky the Carney mode. You gotta de-carney and freedom up. The process.
What does that process entail?
Well, you have to stop thinking like a carny.
Alcohol?
No, because I don't really drink. But it's a problem because, like, I find being a carny makes for good stand-up. It makes for, like, mediocre radio. People don't tune into the Freedom Fiends to hear about operating the tilt-a-whirl. Especially on anyone's cousin. Am I right? It was a good gig, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, crushed, as the kids say. But, yeah, a very good gig. And there were a lot of funny comedians, too. Like, it was a show where they had, it was called The Dirty Dozen, and they had, like, it was a dozen filthy comedians. And we all came out and told dirty jokes, and then they got off. And nobody gave a speech about politics, which is a rarity at comedy shows these days.
Why is that? Tell me about that.
Jon Stewart ruined comedy, and he made it about advancing your legislative goals. So
he wasn't the first to do that, though, but I guess he was the first really popular to do that. The worst. Right. It's funny.
And he did that. He did that crappy little march where it was like the march to restore the smug or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
it was basically like, hey, if you don't agree with my political agenda, you must be insane. Like, that was pretty much the take-home message. And there were 750,000 people there, like, they estimate. And that's an audience that, like, comedians weren't at getting ever. And, like, made him out to be this, like, quasi-Martin Luther King of comedy, like, type figure. And then it became a really righteous thing to speak out, to use your comedy influence to really speak for justice. And man, just the dog excrement that people come up with now when that guy's a politics is just absolute, it's unbearable. But by God, tonight, but if you tell the comedians, hey, here's a show where you have to all tell dirty jokes, you know, every comedian's got some, you know, genital humor that they're gonna unload. So,
wow.
Well, so to speak. And they'll do so. And but yeah, and that they'll stay away. But even still, people got to, you know, had to get some Trump jokes in. And yeah, male genitalia. Why, that reminds me of Trump. But bump, like, oh, that's gold right there.
Well, those are the easy marks.
Yeah, you know, low hanging comedy fruit. Sometimes you take it. I mean, you know, who you talking to? We can't pretend.
Yeah.
What? Oh, I thought that was for, like, you know, when you're already bombing, or you just don't care where you're getting paid regardless, like the corporate gigs.
It was a weird transition though at the end, because I was like, all right, y'all, like, I got to go evade the child support court from Central West Virginia, but then be like, oh, and by the way, I have buttons and stickers from a libertarian podcast and for a government free license, so make sure you come and get those on your way out the door.
Did you give any away? Sell any? Trade them for?
Yes.
Looks at boobs.
Yeah, I traded them for underwear. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. That was the Luke Bryan show. and yeah, but no, I gave a couple away. The state speeches, hate speech ones were kind of popular.
Even if people aren't libertarians, they seem to like that one. What about guns and weed, the road to freedom? Is that button popular?
Yeah, well, the one with a picture of weed on it, yeah, because a lot of people are illiterate. And
pictures help.
Yeah.
Worms.
And the one that just has done for me is the better.
The other friend read it to him.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of going to Liberty events only to meet higher fees and diminishing attendance? Is it troubling that your banners have to be approved by the Libertarian Central Planners? Are you tired of seeing your friends physically removed because they said something edgy? Hey, that's none of my business. Then you should check out the Jackalope Freedom Festival non-event at Baca Meadows in the cooler part of northern Arizona. Meet Liberty activists, listen to talks, have a beer with Hoppy, score some free Freedom Fiends merchandise, camp under the stars, and fight the state with delicious Navajo tacos. And the best part is that there's no fees or libertarian general scrutinizers. Check out jackalopefreedomfestival.com for more information and directions. Runs from August 1st through 8th. That's jackalopefreedomfestival.com.
I, Steve Miller, here with Jeremy Hengler and Lisa, who is intermittently getting droned, apparently. But we're going to play a quick round of Stormfront or Social Justice Warrior. Dun, 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 dun,
oh, I'm so excited. Dun, dun,
dun. Which kind of racist is it now? Is it Stormfront or a Social Justice Warrior in your face yelling now? All right. Our first quote. All right, we'll redact certain adjectives so as not to tip the hand, but only one subspecies is responsible for this behavior. Though you will find a host of varying physical differences among our people worldwide, it is only with the appearance of the enemy people, whose appearance is so unlike our own, that you have an imprint on the collective psyche of our people worldwide. This is because, along with a strikingly different appearance, they also brought a whole bunch of pain and suffering when they came into the territories of place. When the enemy came into the countries mentioned above, they raised the bar on the wickedness and warfare that had previously affected their own place. It was to such a degree that every group of our people set aside special names for enemy people that paired their physical appearance with their actions.
Oh, wow.
Gotta be Stormfront.
See, that's what I was right away with the subspecies thing. I was like, that just sounds right. Like something like, but the more I'm like, oh, is it? Cause yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna have to go with Lisa. I think I'm wrong. Now I think I'm wrong, but it was Stormfront.
This is from a Defend Africa. Yeah, it's anti-white. It's a social justice warrior.
Oh, oh wow.
See. Yep.
Oh, never trust me, Jeremy.
No, because I was thinking the same thing. Like I said, as soon as I heard that word, I was like, oh, okay. Tricksters.
But I guess it's the opposite.
All right. You can't be pro race and date a other race, woman or man. You are either pro your own race or not, and other people who date people of other races are inherently anti their own race. Inherently. And inherently is spelled wrong. That might be a little bit of a tip for you.
Oh, Stormfront. Right?
Jeremy.
I actually don't pay attention to them enough to know, but it has to be them this time, doesn't it? No, I don't know.
this is yet another social justice warrior.
Oh,
yeah, two for two.
Threw me there.
Yeah. So, our group is putting out a list of blank-owned businesses and organizations. The list is not yet complete, but there are already many hundreds of blank-owned stores, restaurants, companies, and associations named. Now, customers will know what businesses not to patronize. When will someone make a similar list for the USA?
This is you, Jeremy. I'm not kidding. Three strikes and I'm out.
All right. Statistically, I would say it has to be still broken. No, but all right. This sounds more like an SJW thing to me.
I think so too, but I was thinking the same thing as you. Like,
see, oh, now I don't.
Three in a row, right? But see, that's what people do when they're trying to throw you off. You can't. All the answers in a row can't be C, so it must be B. So I think it's SJW.
This is someone who's anti-Islam, talking about how in France they have a list of all the Islam-owned businesses, and it's like. The anti-Islam sentiment is so bad there that nobody patronizes those businesses, and now they want one for the United States so they can do the same. And it is directly from a Stormfront forum.
Wow.
Roderick, a listener who hit me up on Twitter, said he has like a 600 batting average in Stormfront or SJW. That's impressive.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't ever get them right.
Well, it is hard to tell a lot of the time.
That's very telling, isn't it? That's saying something.
The point of the game, kids.
Yeah. I'm terrible at this game.
Mommy, this game plays like racism.
Well.
Be back for hour two.
That time already?
Yeah.
Are you sick and tired of peaceful people being banned from so-called liberty events? How about liberty festivals that are more regulated than a government housing area? Now you can do something about it. The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the 4th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held Friday, August 26th through Monday the 29th at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo. There will be canoeing, kayaking, hiking, fishing, swimming, presentations, discussions, and bacon. Lots of bacon. This event is both adult and family friendly, and best of all, no overbearing central planners. There will be free Freedom Fiends and Bipcop merch while supplies last. And don't forget the longer leashes for the Bow Wows and Woof Woofs. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike Papa Lima Fest.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are back, or at least some of us are. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm back. Okay, I am indeed here.
We lost Lisa.
We didn't lose her. She's wandered, but we await her safe and glorious return.
Yes.
We do. We send good vibes into the into the Podoverse, and I want to send good vibes to the podcast I was on earlier today. It was called Tinder Tales, and I think the child's audio might need some improvement. I think it's bad. I've appointed Jim Jesus as his audio guide and mentor, who can take him from the valley of the shadow of echo and crinkle and eating in front of the microphone to the garden of good audio and creamy audio and people being able to talk about Tinder into a podcast. Well, you know, and he met his lady on Bumble. Are you familiar with Bumble?
No, I've not heard of this one yet. What is Bumble?
See, Jeremy, this is why you have no game, because you're not going to Luke Bryan concerts and you don't have Bumble. So Bumble is where it's location based, and it shows you the pics of like people that are nearby, and then when you walk past them, you can like block them or start chatting with them. But yeah, it's one of the more stalkery ones from the the way it's described.
Well, yeah, that was my first thought.
But they met in Brooklyn, and his girlfriend is a. She's a statist, and yep, and he was not having my libertarian solution for organ donation, which was, so Lou had this good point about how buying and selling organs on a free market would be slightly more fair than having just government agents, dictate who gets to die, like based on, you know, what the government thinks is leading a worthy life. And I made the salient point that not only do I believe this, but I would go so far as to not only sell organs, but to rent them by the hour in certain circumstances. if anyone needs them. So, you know.
All right, no, wait a minute.
not so much anymore, but man, there was a time. And you know, There's the old expression that they used to teach in school. It's, I'm not gay, but $20 is $20.
Yeah.
Might be 50. So. How's Long Island life? Is it good?
No. It's never really good here. I mean, business is good, which is always good. Although currently I think I've overdone it. I've 7 dogs in the house.
Good gravy.
Four murder dogs, a giant English sheepdog, and what else? Oh, a bulldog, and then a little dachshund who kind of gets lost in the mix. But
do you ever take the larger dog and attach a playset of Freedom Fiends brand yak antlers onto them? And Nick Hazelton, put on your Nick wig.
And, no.
Pretend you're out of the Oregon prairie with your yak.
No, I haven't gotten that bored yet. But I actually talked about that recently. I'm going to kind of be following in Nick's footsteps, which just sounds weird since he's like less than...
Yeah.
He's more than half my age. Yeah. But he... because I'm finally looking to get out of here, and I'm heading to a farm. if all goes well with the next year.
Have you been on landandfarm.net? That was one of my favorites.
No, I don't even know about that. I actually think I know where I'm going. Although when I mentioned it the other night, Michael, of course, poo-pooed it right away because it wasn't Wyoming, and he tried to convince me to, you know, of course, come to Wyoming. But I have a friend who already has.
The last guy I knew who moved to Wyoming wound up with only one lung. Don't do it.
That's right. There's a precedent there.
You know, if you want to carry a gun everywhere you go, though, that's a good place to do it. You can't do that in Philadelphia.
This is true. Well, you definitely can't do that here. I mean, well, you can. Yeah. You'll be shot pretty quickly. But
like that's the thing about both places, right? And, yeah. But
yeah, but luckily, no. Go ahead.
The muggers won't take your Bitcoin here. So.
That's all right. The muggers and pretty much nobody else up here still knows what Bitcoin is. So I'm like one of the only the ANCAPs and other anarchists and people like myself actually know what Bitcoin is around here. Nobody else is using it. So
you gotta look for them wearing their uniform of all black with a leather jacket, fedora, neck beard. Nah, yeah. I'm just kidding. Well, you know my identity as a trans libertarian, right?
That
I am. Essentially a neckbeard caught in the body of a functional adult. So it's a rough life I lead. And my preferred pronouns are Rothbard and Rothbards. Anyway, have you seen this meme with the communist bear on it?
Which one? I think so.
It said my preferred gender neutral. So it has a bear, and the bear is dressed like is dressed like Lenin. Basically, it's got the mm-hmm. Russian hat, and it's done up in the communist propaganda style. This meme, and it says, "My preferred gender neutral pronoun is comrade." And I died because we, like as mentioned in shows last week, we had too many commies coming through this town. And man, like I can't even tell you how bad it was because like they smelled bad, they were like just unhappy and like closed-minded as all get out, and yeah, you do not ever want like the commies to invade. Like Red Dawn had a good point. That was how you should have reacted probably. I haven't seen the remake of Red Dawn. I've only seen the original.
Yeah, I didn't see the remake either. I didn't really have too much interest. Most of those I'm usually disappointed in anyway. So,
John Cho's doing a gay role in the new Star Trek. You know I'm all over that. And apparently Sulu dates another Asian guy. And there was going to be a kiss scene and probably will be in the DVD extra. And yeah, but they couldn't find anybody who was willing to play gay in the United Arab Emirates where they were filming it because of tax credits.
Really?
Yep. So it was rough.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the Asian guy's parents didn't want him like kissing another dude on screen. And yeah.
Wait. His parents? How old is this guy?
Well, he was like in his 30s, but he was like unmarried. That's how they roll over there.
Oh, I see.
So he was probably like actually gay. And they were like, yo, you're hitting a little close to home, producers of Star Trek. That's an actual thing. You know, people who are a little bit gay themselves or like are close to somebody who like might be a little bit gay, like they get a little touchy. You know, they don't really like it when you like roll up to them and just start talking about your avowed love for sex with other men. You know, they get a little bit Timmy triggered.
Well, yeah, that's usually all the politicians who always want to make who are always trying to push anti-gay laws and are usually the ones that's why, because they're overcompensating.
Well, they're overcompensating. I think there's like a very unique form of psychosis that you have to go through to run for office in the first place, and I know this because I ran for judge in 2013, and you had to be a little bit psychotic, and you talked to the other people, and it was nuts. And I had a very simple platform: everybody's not guilty, no matter what the circumstances. No matter what, as long as it's like the prosecutors and the cops that are bringing the charges, not guilty for everyone. Because so many judges have run on a guilty for everyone platform that I decided, you know, let's balance it a little bit. Let's give the people a little little not guilty. And yeah, came only 42,000 votes short. I got 8,000.
See, that's crazy. You ran on that platform and actually got on the ballot.
Yeah.
Because I tried to run, because in 2012, I tried to run on a platform. I mean, it was for, what was it? I think they just picked a position for me because I was trying to help, you know, I was trying to help the Libertarian Party out, but it was county clerk. But my platform was my, it was just that my first order of business is that, you know, kind of along the lines of what James Babbs was, you know, changing the passwords and, you know, losing the keys or something like that. Yep. Mine was just like my first order of business is to slash the budget to zero, and then I'm going to go home. You know, or no, and then I was and then the next day I was actually going to come back in to write my position out of existence.
Oh, right.
And they wouldn't even let us on the ballot.
Oh, see, I think they have more control over that than they do here. As long as you can provide some signatures, and it's not even a high amount of signatures. Like they got them at James Babb managed to get them at like two or three events. He got the necessary signatures for me to run, and they were all like legit Pennsylvania voters too. That was the one thing. Like a lot of people fake their signatures, but ours were. And you know, you kind of want that because if you're gonna have a platform that's like nutty, they're gonna like the first thing they're gonna do is gonna be like, "Hur-da-da-da-da, I bet you his signatures aren't even real," like casting shade, right? Like a bunch of bitter drag queens, and yeah. So you got to keep your signature game on point. And
oh yeah, well we had to do that up here, and we knew that ahead of time because the two guys who ran the local party up here were, you know, had been at this for 20 plus years, so they knew how to. I mean, one of them had actually essentially written a book on how to get around all their stupid regulations and stupid essentially, you know, foul play just to keep people out. Nice. And you know, so like we made sure, like we, you know, we had people pulling out their driver's licenses to prove to us who they were. Nice. So we did take a check, and they still managed to throw out, you know, just enough to keep us off the ballot altogether. I think we ended up being too short. Our entire party line was like two or three signatures short. No matter what we did, all the appeals.
If everybody would have pressed those buttons a little harder, though.
Exactly. One more push, but oh well.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT No Gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government license is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at Fiendfest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, Bip Strong bracelets, Bip Cut stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Pack of dogs. We're here. It's a Wednesday night. It's a good night. It's been a rough day here in Philadelphia. I was at one of the bigger comedy clubs in Philly today, which was nice. Always nice to get out there, get some actual paid work in. You know, it's good to be out there, and we're flush with cash, so we're going to be flush with Bitcoin as well soon. So. as two men whose net worth is probably on the upswing, Jeremy, what do you plan to do with your newfound not only wealth from caring for people's ravenous beasts, but also with your Bitcoin fortune, where you can buy pretty much an unlimited amount of ads on the Freedom Feeds, the very show you're on?
Yeah, we'll see. The original plan was going to be for radio ads and yak meat, and I really had no interest in the radio ads. I just want, because Nick just flat out refuses to send me yak meat, even yak jerky, which I heard him say on a recent show that he would be more than happy to send out. And I'm like, I've been asking him for that for a year now. That's just insane. That's just rude.
There's a meme about this, correct?
Yes, yes, there is.
For the uninitiated, it is a meme of Jeremy, and it's a direct quote, and it says, "I was the one who wanted the yak for personal consumption."
Yes,
he's
well,
not
it's
to
true.
Resell this yak?
No,
you're not
trying. No.
You're not opening Yaks or Us. You're,
no, I wanted it all for myself.
You're a lowly murder dog herder.
Yeah. So, now that I hear, you know, what you got planned and what Jim has planned, now I'm like, well, now maybe I should do that too. Maybe I got to get in that competition, because I'm definitely going to be mining them. I mean, I'm just waiting for, Michael to finish this whole thing and then somebody to tell me how to mine these things, because I have no idea how any of this works.
It's kind of, yeah, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. I'm kind of surprised how quickly it's moved as well. We were in the planning stages, two episodes ago, and now people are laptops at the ready to roll up a Bitcoin mine. Put on your hard hat, your hard fedora,
your hard fedora,
and get your data shovel out and go plow those fields.
Yeah,
picking algorithmic cotton all the live long day. Is that what it's? That's what it does, right? Like, it's an algorithm, and you solve like equations, like it's the PBS 90s series Ghost Rider, correct?
That's the impression I was given.
Did you know the Ghost Rider was a slave? That's what it turned out to be at the end.
No.
Yeah, okay. In the show Ghost Rider, it turned out he was a slave who escaped, and he was not allowed to read when he was a slave, obviously. And then after he escaped, that reading became important to him, and now from beyond the grave, he helps kids writing by being a ghost writer, which is incredibly creepy, but. Only 90s kids will remember.
Yeah. Actually, I do. I don't think I really watched that, but I do remember the show.
Yeah. And he was actually the great-grandfather of the black kid who lived with his male woman grandmother in like the like little Anne Frank attic at on PBS. But the show was interesting. I enjoyed it when I was a kid. You know, I was very nerdy, though, so like I was really bookish and like not very physically attractive, so it was good to kind of see my kind represented on TV, even if it was PBS, which is, you know, basically the official network of being physically unattractive.
Yeah,
like those people at pledge drives, they don't get them like because they're beauties, like they're not getting the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders in there to like be like, hey, like pledge money to your PBS station. It's yeah, and think about this, like, it's the public station, so, like, it's government-sponsored, but, like, you know, they still need to beg you for money for it, so.
Yeah, that does seem right. Very odd. Well, yeah, that does seem right.
And actually, they interrupt programming, too, and they, like, during the, like, interruption of programming, they brag about how commercial-free they are.
Oh, the irony.
Yeah, well, we never ever bring you commercials, but by God, it'd be great if you gave us $50 right now. Please donate. You know what? If you give us $70, we'll give you a mug. And the station here in Philadelphia is called WHYY, and there's a lot of radio NPR programming produced in awful NPR voice, which longtime listeners know is a huge enemy of mine. And you see the mugs in the thrift store, and it's WHYY. You're just like, why? Why did I give them $70 for a mug? Why? We'll be back with more of the Freedom Funds Drive after the break.
Please donate.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Fiendphone.
Bipcot no gov.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
Hey, there's some Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
We were discussing propaganda.
This is the Fiend Phone Unnecessary Random Reeducation Interruption Exigency System, or Furries.
Furries.
This is Michael Dean, and hashtag please donate Pipcoin. So, Yak Coin? Were you talking about Yak Coin? Or what were you talking about?
I asked him if he put the Freedom Fiends brand toy antlers on his dogs and pretended they were
he totally should. Yeah. So I was listening to the LRN ads. Do you think that they should have to, like, you know, according to the under Bipcotter's Laboratories rules, what would be the LibPair equivalent of the Better Business Bureau? Actually, the Better Business Bureau is private. People don't know that. They think it's part of the government because you tattle to them, but it's not. So the Better Bipcot Bureau, do you think that according to the Better Bipcot Bureau corporate and union bylaws, LRN should have to take off and remove that ad with Derek J talking about why he moved to the Shire? He doesn't live there anymore. He's like, oh, the Keene is so wonderful. I moved to Keene. Yeah. And then you said, I don't like this. And then he moved to like South America. And then he moved to the seacoast of New Hampshire. That's not. What do you guys think? How do you vote in people's court?
Does he say he lives in Keene, New Hampshire? Or does he say that he lives in the Shire in general?
He says the Shire, which I don't think that's necessarily New Hampshire. I think that's the Keene Manchester Metroplex.
Oh, seriously? Because I thought that referred to all of New Hampshire.
It's actually Middle Earth, isn't it? The Shire. Come on, man.
Well, that's where it comes from.
Old Shire.
Yeah. My cat's rubbing against my microphone.
You're tired.
So, do you think that how soon do you think it'll be before Roberts and Roberts, when they have their stock ticker quotes for gold, silver, and Bitcoin, will add Bipcoin to those ads? I know a guy. I could make it happen. And Bipcoin is still worth nothing. Keep those miners going, people. So you had questions about miners. And I don't mean the people that you sleep with if you live in the Shire. What do you want to know about Bitcoin mining, cryptocurrency mining?
Not Bitcoin mining, because I have a pretty good handle on how that works. But Bipcot. So with Bitcoin mining. So with Bitcoin, I understand that the main work that you do that you're giving your that by which you mine is confirming transactions. What if there aren't any transactions, as in the case of Bitcoin? What exactly are you doing then?
you're not confirming transactions. You're solving math problems when you're mining Bitcoin. And it's called proof of work. And Bitcoin will use what's called proof of stake, which is slightly different, but it's still solving math problems. The difference is Bitcoin is based on, and thanks for pointing out, like, yeah, this has gone from like a joke to two episodes ago to I've got a programmer who actually like output a, you know, it wasn't hooked up to anything, but like on his computer, it was mining Bitcoin while he was talking to me. Nice. So like it actually exists in a sense, but it's probably not going to exist in the sense that you guys can see it or touch it or download it, the clients, or mine it for between 2 and 4 weeks. We got to do some testing. We don't want to, we ain't putting out junk here.
Show me on the mine where the Bitcoin touched you.
Yeah. Yeah. But when coins are new, you know, if there's a node connecting them, which there will be, see, that's another thing like people don't understand is that releasing a coin, a new coin, isn't just like, okay, here's the software. It's like, it's kind of, you have to release an ecosystem of several different products and or services. Like, you need to have a Linux miner daemon wallet and probably a Windows wallet, a Windows one click miner. We're going to have two, which is what you guys will be using. And the code base that Bitcoin will be based on is the crypto note code, which is different from Bitcoin. It's similar, but it's most, there's like 750 altcoins currently. Like 740 of them are based on Bitcoin or Litecoin, which was based on Bitcoin. This is a whole new code base. It's solid. There's like 10 coins based on this. For some reason, it hasn't caught on because everybody who doesn't know what they're doing is like, oh, it has to be based on Bitcoin. Bitcoin has some really, really basic flaws in it. Three of them are solved by this code. So Bitcoin is going to solve three of the problems of Bitcoin. One is that it's going to be private by default. Like, you'll be able to look at the blockchain with a block explorer, which is another service you have to launch a coin. But you won't be able to tell who's doing what, because the wallet for Bitcoin by default will generate a new temporary address every time. So the addresses on the blockchain will not be the address of your wallet. Like, you can make your wallet address public. You can use the same address forever and nobody can easily find out, you know, what you've transacted. So there's that. That problem of Bitcoin is solved. Second problem that's solved let me take a little aside here. So like, people don't understand what it takes to launch a coin. And like, there was a guy I knew like 4 years ago who had his own cryptocurrency, which was kind of a, you know, it was like number 400 of the 700 or 800 coins at a time. You know, it was actually worth some fraction of a penny, whereas most of them were worth nothing. But he was doing a service where he was like, I'll make anybody a coin for $500. So like, you know, you'd go to him with a coin name and a logo, and you know, you could change a couple parameters, but that was about it. And it was all based off Bitcoin code. And like, he was doing this hand over fist. Like, this was when Bitcoin was worth $1,000, and everybody who didn't know anything about computers or programming or cryptocurrency was like, well, I'll just launch my own coin and I'll get rich. So he had like, I mean, he was just like all day long, like doing three or four of these a day, like $500, you know, to like print out a new coin. And he was probably working 5 hours a day and, you know, making several thousand dollars a day. But what happened was like, I wanted him to do one, and I had the 500 for it like 4 years ago, and he said he would do it. And all of a sudden, like, his website was gone. Everything was gone. He just disappeared. And I later talked to him like a year ago, and I was like, what happened, man? And he's like, yeah, there were like three or four different clients I had that I made a coin for, and they didn't understand that they'd have to, like, you know, also launch a mining pool, also launch a node, also launch, you know, like these other services. And and they wanted to kill him. And they like found out, they posted, like, send him pictures of his children. And like, I know your kids go to school. I'm going to murder you unless you, you know, like basically the people didn't know what they were getting for their $500. They thought he'll make them as rich as the Bitcoin people who got in early. So, oh, yeah. Lord. Yeah. There's crazy stuff like that.
People but, are dumb.
Yeah, so the second problem of Bitcoin that Bitcoin will solve, and the other 10 coins that are based on the crypto note code solve, is that you'll be able to solve, you'll be able to mine it on normal hardware. Like I'm mining right now on the computer. I'm mining Monero, which is one of the coins. I'm mining it on a PC that I'm doing the show on. I shouldn't be, but I am, and I've had no dropouts. Like, if you could do that with Bitcoin the first week it was out, but once it started going, you needed, like ASIC miners, like special systems built to mine coin. And the thing is, there's tons of people that like spend a lot of money on that kind of stuff, but like Bitcoin's even gotten so hard to mine that they can't mine it anymore. And they're looking for the next coin. So people will jump on Bitcoin. I'm not laughing at them. I'm saying, like, this will work. I thought this out. I'm not saying anybody's going to get rich off it, but I think this coin's going to have a chance. And it's going to be based on the fiends, man. And I'm going to take it for buttons and stickers from day one. And I will tell you guys how to mine it on this show. This show's basically going to turn into the Bitcoin podcast in about a month. So, yeah.
Awesome.
The Bip Cop Boys.
Any questions?
Any questions? Are you going to rename the show Bip Cop Village?
No.
You know, I mean, it depends. We're all going to become... I plan on retiring off of it. Whether
Bitcoin millionaires?
Whether I can actually buy anything in my retirement or one thing is another, but I'm going to retire off my Bitcoin.
Oh, Bitcoin is what is what's gonna, you're gonna have to bribe the guards to get to LibPair, to Alpha Centauri. You know, the Dogecoin, what was their motto? To the moon. Our Bitcoin's motto is gonna be to Alpha Centauri. I mean, that's just a gimme right there.
To the worms.
To the worms.
To the nebulizer.
Yeah. The other thing that this does better than Bitcoin is it has adaptive limits. Like Bitcoin is hardwired into like when the difficulty changes. In Bitcoin and this little tiny galaxy of coins, it changes depending on how many people are mining it. So the rate that the inflation advances at is more sensible and less random, which is good.
Is there a limited number of coins that it'll put out, or is it limitless?
Yeah. And it's going to be near what Bitcoin is, but it's going to be divisible to a factor of 1,000 more, which is absurd and would never be needed. But hey, you know, maybe, I mean, Bitcoin could cover the economy of the world, but the Bitcoin could cover the economy of the universe, of the solar system. Because Bitcoin, what I heard about Bitcoin is, what's that? To Alpha Centauri, yeah. So like if a Bitcoin, the price went up to $1 million per Bitcoin, the way it's divisible now, you could still make one cent transactions. But Bitcoin will be 1,000 times as divisible. So there, Satoshi. And the smallest amount of Bitcoin is called a Satoshi. The smallest amount of Bitcoin will be called a squitten. And mining Bitcoin will be known as stacking mad squittens.
All right.
So put on your fedora. What's that?
Put on your fedora and stack some mad squittens. I almost said squish some mad kittens, but
that's
the opposite of what you want. Yeah.
No. Although I'm sure that'll be a service you could get videos of with Bitcoin at some point. Oh, that's a horrible thought. I take it back. The Bipcot license will have to be amended to prevent that. Governments and kitten squishers not allowed.
You're listening kitten to squishers. Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Grandpa, where were you in the Pokemon Wars of 2016? Well, what's going to happen when people just stop going to work, and who's going to run the energy for the electricity for people to play Pokemon Go and mine Bitcoin?
No one.
No one. Until the earth, the sun burns out and becomes a cold lump of coal.
Yep, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got some info about that socialist communist whose fat folds stink, Michael Moore, right?
Indeed. So Michael Moore has resurfaced. He is not currently calling for anyone to be arrested on Twitter, which is the most sure way to get someone.
Wait, I missed this. What did he do?
Oh God! When the water situation in Flint.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Went down.
He was doing the right thing. He was saying that government officials should be jailed for poisoning children. You know, liberals get it right once about, you know, twice a day, maybe. Stop clock, that kind of thing.
Yep, exactly. Something.
A stopped blockchain is right once a year.
Yep. Oh, man, that's heartwarming right there.
Once in eternity.
And Michael Moore has resurfaced, and he is on TV, and he has the hairstyle of a pilgrim, and he kind of looks like a lesbian women's softball coach.
Yeah.
So,
I would not hit it.
Oh, no, I think few people would. I saw a speech by Michael Moore when I was in college, and he was heckled, and they had to threaten to remove the hecklers, and this is right after he'd won his Oscar. And had, you know, given this rousing speech, and he was riding high, and college kids loved him back. He was the the Bernie of his time. Everybody got all wide in the eyes for Michael Moore, and he's looking haggard now. And you know, that's the thing is, like, you keep on with the same things over and over again, and it just ages you. You gotta keep.
I'm not gonna admit publicly that he might be one of the reasons I started making films. Many years ago. I'm gonna keep that to myself. Are we back yet?
Yeah, we're back.
No, you're safe.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Michael and me.
Kitty ate my Bipcot. Bitcoin.
My kitty mined my Bipcoin.
I know.
It's a well trained cat. See, Jeremy, that's how you take your business to the next level. Not only do you take on these animals, but you train them to do work for you. They're mining Bitcoin for you. Yeah, you're making money on, like, multiple fronts.
Yeah, you got, like, 7 dogs there. Couldn't you put them on a generator and have them on a treadmill and have them generate electricity to mine Bitcoin and get paid for it?
I probably could. Well, some of them, not all of them. I wouldn't really trust the bulldog. He'd probably pass over from exhaustion and have a heart attack on me. So that's not good.
And your kids too. Daddy's making us work in the Bitcoin mines, Mommy.
The Bitcoin mines. Actually, no. If I put them like labor. If I put them like a little mini treadmill, they'd probably get a kick out of it. There you go. They wouldn't even realize they're.
The creepiest part is when Nick Hazelton goes out to his mailbox and finds some bulldog jerky in the mail.
Bulldog jerky. Squittens.
I have no problem sending that in the mail.
I'll pass, thanks.
Yeah.
You know, all right, I got to go mine some stuff. I'll be back next week. Have a good time, guys. Worms.
Okay. Yep.
Bless your grind.
Thank you for your cervix.
Thank you for your cervix. Wait, I didn't take your cervix just yet. So, just yet. It's a long drive to Wyoming.
Yeah. So, anyway. I was going to say, well, before we. There's just one thing I found earlier that for at least a little bit of redemption, for people who complain they can't find work or, you know, the state has them down, there's a story in the Huffington Post about a professional joint roller. As in, you know, the marijuanas, and this guy gets up to seven. Was that?
I thought you meant he rolls into joints like, hey, here I am. Pacha.
No, no, no. He actually, he rolls marijuana cigarettes, but into the shapes of like art. Like his latest thing was like an AR-15 or something. But, and he got $7,000 for this.
It's, and it's banned on two different fronts.
Exactly. Well, depending on where you are.
You gotta, but the only joint you have to go through a waiting period for.
But, I mean, come on. If this guy could make that kind of money making Pikachus and Spider-Mans and guns and Tommy Chong heads, he gotta be able to do something to make some money.
Guns and weed, the joint.